I've had the rhythm and blues since the day you met me. Step on my blue space shoes, watch Elvis go crazy. Oh, come on, darling, won't you let me? Won't you let me turn you on? No one likes to be so lonely. No one likes to feel alone. Oh, come on, darling, won't you let me? Won't you let me drive you home?
And hello, all you wonderful people who happen to be listening right now. This is Luke, and you're listening to another episode of Elephant Loaf here on 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Thank you for tuning back in. We've got another great show coming up for you this week, including our special guest, Violet. Violet, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hello. My name is Violet. I'm a junior here, originally from Brooklyn, New York.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Very cool.
You didn't know that?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well, you really like this song.
I love this song
that just played. Wait, actually, for audience members who are maybe listening on the radio and don't have the benefit of seeing it on their website, what just played?
That was Rhythm and Blues by The Head and the Heart, which not only was my Spotify top song this year, but has been for the past 4 years. I love it because I feel like you can listen to it while you're super upset and also while you're like dancing and having a great time. It's just one of those songs that fits every vibe. So hence why it's obviously going to be my top.
Absolutely. That is, it solves the problem of like, do you listen to happy music when you're sad or do you listen to sad music when you're sad? It's just like, this is the multi-purpose tool.
A one song fits all.
Exactly.
If you will. Yeah.
Those are incredible. Yeah. Awesome. Let's jump into a question. I want to start with, what's your favorite seasonal activity near campus? Because I think there are a lot of great ones, and my guess is you've got a really good answer.
I don't know if it's an amazing answer, but I feel like something that I've loved while coming to Tufts. So I grew up in Brooklyn.
Yep.
So much fun. The seasons are kind of, it's either like sticky summer or like freezing winter. And there's not a whole lot of the in between. You know, there'll be like one or two like really nice fall weekends or spring weekends, but I didn't realize how close Tufts was to some beautiful nature. And so I don't do it as much as I should or as much as I want to, but getting into the Fells, the nature reserve near campus, or just like driving an hour or two off campus and going on a hike or looking at the foliage has been like, I mean, hands down the highlight of my semester.
Absolutely.
It's fun to be able to be in a place that's both really urban and we have the benefit of being in Boston while also, I mean, New England is beautiful and in the fall, like it's so vibrant. It looks like everything's on fire. I don't know. I love it.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, and that's one thing I really love about Tufts is it's not in the city.
Yes,
like we're close enough that we can get there, but we're not surrounded by skyscrapers.
And there's
which
still
is great.
That like cozy apple cider drinking, kind of comfortable campus vibe.
Yeah.
That is really nice to sometimes just like huddle into.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I think it's the best of both worlds.
Are you a hot or cold apple cider person?
I'm definitely a hot apple cider. I mean,
hey.
If it's apple cider, I'm drinking it.
Okay. That's the correct opinion.
Yes. But no, there was a day that I think it was like the first day that was maybe like below 60 sometime in October. And I got an apple cider from Danish Pastry House. And I was like walking uphill and just had this moment. The sun was like streaming through the orange leaves and I was just like, wow, this is New England in the fall is really something else.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. What is your preferred method of getting to the Fells? Is it driving there, walking there? Cause like it's a long walk, but it's nice walk.
I haven't walked.
Oh, okay. I recommend it.
I've only driven, I haven't driven, but I've caught rides from people. The Uber is also surprisingly cheap. Like I've done I've done a round trip for like $15.
Yeah.
Because it's really only a 5-minute drive. So, obviously, a slightly more expensive habit, but not that much more than like you know if you're going to dinner in Boston or something like that. I've gone on 3 field trips to the Fells with 3 different classes.
Okay.
Which maybe speaks to being an environmental studies major.
Yeah.
Not even field trips to study leaves. Field trips where, like, an English class will go and they'll be like, go walk around the Fells by yourself and, like, look at a cool leaf and journal.
Yeah.
And it's really fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Was one of those classes environmental geology by any chance?
No.
No. Okay.
None
of them have been science classes.
Yeah. It was 2 English classes I took. The first was Earth Matters, which is probably my favorite class that I've ever taken at Tufts.
Yeah.
Where we just read different environmental literature and like, I don't know, there was frequently like someone crying in class because what we were learning was so moving. It was a really tight knit community and we went to the Fells and we like.
A small class?
Yeah, it was like 15 of us.
Wow. Yeah.
A lot of us knew each other from outside the classroom. So it was very. We'd have like movie nights where we'd all go over to each other's houses and bake cookies and like watch our assigned documentaries. We went to the Fells and we like read some poetry and sat on rocks and thought about like our connection to nature. And it was, I don't know, I had this moment where I was like, I'm really grateful that this is a part of my education. And that education is something that isn't just conducted within a classroom, but can also be elsewhere.
Yeah.
Have you done a Fells field trip with environmental geology?
No, I haven't, but I hope to in the spring. And so I was going to try and, yeah.
It would probably look slightly differently than the reading poetry.
Yeah, but there's something great about that, though, you know?
You can find different things in the same place.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely. But like, my English teacher in high school put me onto Walt Whitman, who was a firm believer that poetry was not to be read indoors.
Yes.
I
read in the second class that I did a Fells field trip to, that was like my final essay, was all about Walt Whitman and his natural content.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, so to maybe pivot to another question that you put on here is, which is what do you study and why is it interesting to you? You mentioned that you're an environmental studies major.
Yeah, that was actually kind of a lie.
Oh, okay.
I did an interdisciplinary studies major, which is basically a DIY major.
Mm-hmm.
So it combines environmental studies, anthropology, and race, colonialism, and diaspora studies.
Yeah.
And I'm calling it environmental justice. And it has been so fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel really energized by what I'm studying, and it feels really good. I'm basically studying the intersection of social inequality and environmental issues, which kind of is so encompassing of everything. Like, every social justice issue has to do with the environment. So I can really just take classes in anything, which is also really fun to be able to design my own curriculum. But really, like, what I'm learning is that there's this crisis in this country and around the world of environmental disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
And that so many of us don't have a relationship with the environment, whatever that looks like, whether it's our local environments, if we live in a city, if we live in suburbs, if we live rurally, but also just with the idea that nature is more than a thing that exists to be beautiful, but is a living world. And when humans don't respect non-human nature as something that is worthy of value, we destroy it. Mm-hmm. And it's just been so fascinating to realize, oh, a huge solution here is we all need to start seeing our worlds outside of us as worthy of value.
So yeah.
I'm loving it.
There's a lot of really cool stuff in there for sure. What I maybe want to start with is, did you come in knowing that you wanted to do an interdisciplinary major? And like, because that would be very overwhelming for me, you know?
Not at all. I kind of came to it, I think, last winter. I came in wanting to do international relations, kind of pivoted, maybe political science, maybe anthropology. Nothing was quite fitting because I'm interested in so much. Kind of hence the interdisciplinary studies, where I can really take classes in whatever I want. And unlike with every other major where you're like, oh, I have to do these three requirements before I graduate, I have no requirements with this major except for writing a thesis next year.
Oh, wow.
Which is overwhelming, and I'm trying not to think about it. I can take classes in, you know, like race and ethnicity studies, or I can take classes in environmental science, which I'm probably going to be doing next semester studying abroad. And I can just put it all together. And I'm starting to see, I was skeptical at first that these classes that are totally unrelated would fit together. But I don't know, this semester I'm taking anthropology of the environment. And then I'm also taking a grad class about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And neither of the others have been mentioned. Like, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict hasn't been mentioned in the environmental class and vice versa. But in my head, they fit together so well. And so it's just really interesting to be able to, like, apply these two seemingly irrelevant things to each other.
Totally. I was, so I'm taking classical mythology right now, and you can get extra credit for just going to, like, any of the classics department guest lectures.
Cool.
Last night there was a, I went to one, and there was a guy talking, he was from Yale, about looking back and using a combination of science and statistics and classics and history and humanities to look at, like, short-term changes in climate, mainly by volcanoes, and trying to link that to political unrest in, like, ancient Egypt.
Oh, my gosh.
Which was super cool and, like, a great thing to see, but, like, it's all connected, you know?
Yeah.
It's all connected in really cool ways. And I think definitely what you were saying about, like, looking at it all as a system that works together, and humans are not separate from nature, you know? But another thing that in wilderness orientation, we do a lot of talking about how we conceive of nature. I'm a two staff member.
Oh, yeah.
And I really, really like the idea that we need to start looking at it less like wilderness is out there and we are separate from it here, and more like, you know, the world is one thing, and you know, there's natural beauty everywhere, and we just need to, I don't know, respect it like that.
It's a huge element of what I'm studying is, like, how do we see I don't know, like the weeds in the cracks in the sidewalk outside your front door as something that should be respected as much as like the fells should be, which is maybe,
or the redwoods,
or the redwoods, or all of these like beautiful kind of like pieces of nature, like national parks that are seen as almost religious. It's a challenging concept to grapple with at first, I think, because of course there's so much beauty in, you know, the national parks, but starting to see, oh wait, like we can find a relationship with this wherever it is and wherever we are.
Yeah.
And it's in us also, because we are a part of nature. We're human beings. We're living and breathing just like any other animal or any other plant.
No, absolutely. And like after the show, I think I'm going to try and get you in touch with another guest of the show. My wilderness orientation co-leader, who is right now writing her thesis. She's an English major with an environmental studies co-major, who is writing all about place and how we kind of conceive of, you know, our local environment and what is familiar to us and, you know, how that ties into nature, but also how that ties into how we live our life.
Please get me in touch with her.
Emma, I hope I did that justice. yeah, very fascinating stuff for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really cool how they frame it at Tufts. I think the interdisciplinary-ness of that major, because I think at a lot of other schools, or I don't really know, honestly, but the build your own option has always felt very nebulous to me, but they rope it in where it's like choose three, right? Mm-hmm. And create a link between them. And yeah, I don't know. Senior thesis as part of it seems like an awesome.
Yeah, it's daunting.
Yeah, for certainly.
To be like, I'm going to write an incredibly long, arduous piece, but also feels really satisfying, because something that I was realizing that I've been thinking about in the past few weeks is that I have this entire, like, new worldview that's forming, in the process of forming, through the diversity of classes that I'm taking, but it doesn't really exist in any centralized place, because it's my unique experience.
Yeah.
And it's completely my unique experience because I made it up.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really I'm learning so much from so many different places. It's impossible to explain, or feels very difficult to explain to any of my friends or family, despite the fact that it's really all I want to talk about at all times. And so I'm excited to kind of synthesize it and put it all together and put out a work that is the product of all the learning that I've been doing.
Yeah.
It's exciting and also really scary, but you know, it'll be good.
I mean, I would imagine, but it would have to be so satisfying when you're done of like being able to point to here's the thing. Here's what I've been working
it's
on.
Very,
you
like,
know?
Concrete satisfaction. Are you going to write a thesis, do you think?
For chemistry, you need to be in a lab to do that. Probably. At the moment, that's not a requirement that I fill. Hopefully in the near future, maybe, and I can start thinking about it. But we'll see.
Cool.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Sweet. Are you feeling another song? Are you feeling more talking, more questions?
Let's do another song.
Awesome. I can let you pick unless you... I don't know.
Why don't we do Shatter by Maggie Rogers?
Absolutely.
One of my other favorites.
Here it is.
Faces in it, face.
So over the break, I don't know, we were talking, we were hanging out. You struck at the core of why I do this show, which is to get to know people.
Yeah.
And we talked about this song a little bit as well, which, I don't know, we earlier went into multi-mood songs and why they're great, but there is also a beauty to a one-mood song.
Oh, yeah. This song is really, has a very special place in my heart at the moment. So, Shatter by Maggie Rogers. She came out with this album this summer. I'm seeing her in concert in June, and I'm actually counting down the days. And the album is about feeling, just at its rawest. And whether it's sadness or anger or joy or love, passion, like whatever it is.
Yeah.
Just being uninhibited in that feeling. And this song can be applied to anger, can be applied to joy, but whatever it is, it's just like a that jittery, like you feel it in your body.
Yeah.
And I think that's awesome. It's a good angry song. It's a good happy song. It's a great, like, dance break alone in my room song.
Totally. So in that way, it almost is a multi-mood song, but it's a high energy.
It's not, not a like sad song, but maybe it's an angry sad song. Mm-hmm. Definitely like a purpose that I've used it in.
Yeah.
The album that it's on is called Surrender, and it kind of like fits that vibe as well, which is, it's just kind of like, I'm going to feel things and I'm not going to hold them back from myself. Like surrendering to emotion.
Yeah.
It's been a real journey for me in my life to like allow myself to feel fully and not put that down. And so the idea of, I think a lot of the time since the album came out, I've caught myself when I'm talking to friends about something that I'm upset about or something that I'm angry about, I've caught myself like putting my hands above my head in a kind of surrender, like hands up pose of being like, I'm just gonna feel this. I'm just gonna play this one out. And that's kind of what that song represents to me.
There you go. And as someone who's also trying to kind of walk that journey of figuring out how much to hold back and how much to just give in to it, have you been satisfied with your results so far?
I'm getting there.
Yeah.
I'm proud of myself, I think.
Absolutely.
I think there's something to be said for having fun being sad.
True. True.
You know what I mean? Just being like, I found that the worst part about feeling sad or anxious is the judgment that we often give ourselves when we're sad or anxious. Like the like, oh, like, why are you feeling this? Just like, get over yourself or whatever. Yeah. And instead it's like, I don't know, like, make yourself a cup of tea, like, put on like really sad songs, like have a good cry, like,
and feel
whatever
it.
And feel it. I mean, it's, I'm not going to say it's like an enjoyable experience, but there's something that feels like a release about that.
Yeah.
And that's the same, I think, for any emotion, like for anger, being like, ah, like I'm gonna like punch a pillow right now, or or like dance really aggressively, or like whatever, go on a run, whatever it is. Those like physical outlets I think have helped, but I don't know, it's a process.
It is. It's a growing up thing.
It's a growing up thing.
Yep. Yeah. There are a lot of those.
Yeah.
But always good to figure stuff like that out. I'm curious, with the theme of surrender, and you've talked about what Shatter means within that, what are some of the kind of themes behind the other songs?
There's like a few really beautiful love songs that are just like leaning into another person. Whether they're love songs that are both romantic and also about friendships, that I think that's
awesome.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And I think that friendship love is like one of the most underrated things in the world.
Yep.
It's something that brings me like some of the most joy in my life is my friendships. So I love those. There's songs about wanting to feel something. And just being like, how can I give in to emotion? So a little bit meta. And then there's a few like very angry songs.
Yeah.
It's awesome, I think, that the album can have so many different vibes and work together really cohesively.
Very cool. I'm definitely going to give that a listen after this.
Yeah. I'll send you a lot of recommendations.
Please.
She's, like, hands down my favorite artist.
Yeah, I've listened to Alaska, and that's all
so
I know
good.
From her. It's an excellent song, but I feel like
song.
A fake fan.
I was in Alaska. I worked on a farm in Alaska this summer, mm-hmm. For like a month. And so that was definitely like probably like everyone who ever goes to like work on a farm or hike in Alaska listens to that song obsessively.
Yeah.
I certainly was not an exception to that. So that song also has a very special place in my heart.
Would you want to talk a little more about your time in Alaska?
Sure. Well, off of what we were saying about, like having a relationship with nature.
Yeah.
I realized I'm dissatisfied with my relationship with nature. That feels a little bit strained.
Mm.
And I was like, I want to get my hands dirty. So I went to Alaska for about a month, a small town, about an hour north of Anchorage. And it was a veggie farm. And we harvested everything. Like it was, somehow
That's
they
awesome.
Had probably like every vegetable imaginable.
Whoa.
Greenhouses and outside. And it was right at the base of this huge mountain that was, I had never seen, I think like, aside from visiting family in LA where you see the mountains kind of far away, never seen like a good rocky mountain.
Mm-hmm.
Like a real like,
and having a mountain that's like right there,
it's right in your face,
it's just, it's you know what cardinal directions are because you know the mountains to the east and you can work off of that, you know
any place you looked.
Yep.
It was called Pioneer Peak and you would see it, and
and
like you form this relationship with it.
Oh yeah,
it feels like it's watching over you. It was amazing. The sun, because it was Alaska, so it's super far north, would be out until about 10 or 11 every night. But you wouldn't be able to see the sun until after about 4 p.m. because the mountain would block it.
Whoa!
It was amazing. Amazing to be in an environment where I would never be in otherwise. Very different than my liberal Massachusetts and New York bubble.
Yeah.
Awesome to meet people from everywhere. Like, there are really other workers from all different countries around the world, different ages.
Yeah.
Everything we ate, we grew.
Awesome.
With the exception of like, you know, like maybe rice or some of the things that we really couldn't grow there. But it was so fun to be like, 3 hours ago I was physically picking this cucumber and now it's like I'm chopping it up to go into a salad that I'm eating right now.
Mm-hmm.
It was so cool to be a part of the process from start to finish.
Yeah. Absolutely. You mentioned like being around other people that are from other parts of the world, but also of all sorts of different mm-hmm. ages. And I've recently been reflecting on the fact, at least so far in life, elementary school, you're with people your own age. And like teachers, but like you're with people your own age. And high school is the same way. Middle school as well, I guess. College, I think there's probably something lost by the fact that we primarily interact with people.
Yeah.
Within a couple of years of our own age.
It probably changes when you're an adult a little bit.
I would think so, yeah.
But I also think that for our whole lives, we're, like, put into boxes based on, like, what we're expected to do at that age.
Mm.
And to be in a place where those boxes didn't really exist. Like, we're all living in the same place. I mean, we're roommates, right? Like, we're eating the same food. We're doing all the same activities. There was a 60 or 70-year-old Colombian woman who was there, who I formed a really awesome friendship with.
Nice.
It was the first time that I had ever, like, I mean, I guess there, in some ways I kind of saw her as a superior. She obviously has, like, 40 more years of lived experience than I do.
Yeah.
But there was something about it where we were just friends talking, you know? We'd talk about music and movies and relationships, and we'd sit together and gossip and tell like hilarious stories, and it was a little bit weird to be like, this is a person who's like in between my parents and grandparents' age, and yet she's kind of just like one of the homies.
Yeah.
But it was awesome and I learned a lot from her. I wish that I had a little bit more of that.
Totally. No, that sounds honestly stellar.
It was so cool. Would really recommend. I'm gonna do it again, whether it's to Alaska again or anywhere else.
Yeah.
There are farms all over the world that take volunteers from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You farm different types of things and work in different climates and connect to different landscapes. It's really exciting.
D- Do you, I know you said anywhere, but do you have any ideas of other than Alaska places
that you'd like to go? The nice thing about Alaska was that it never went past like 60 degrees, which means that when you're farming in the fields, you weren't like overheating or burning.
Totally.
So I kind of am into the idea of going to like Scandinavia or something.
Yeah.
Also, when I am bored, sometimes I like look at the websites where you can find these places on, just as a kind of distraction from homework. And there are some very cool places in Sicily.
Ooh.
I don't know when I'm going to get to Sicily, but like,
I mean,
hypothetically, there are all these little like eco-permaculture communes, and they're like, come make ceramics and farm dates with us. Like, absolutely. I would love to do that.
Nothing would make me happier.
Yeah.
Oh. And that ties into like another thing that I'm trying to do right now, which is develop more concrete skills. And I don't care what it is, but I found out recently I just like really like working with my hands.
Yeah.
And it sounds cool. I mean, whether it's ceramics or gardening or farming, like the farming, I'm trying to play more pool right now, but like I need it's I feel like there is a satisfaction in doing a thing well.
Yes.
You know?
And it's not something that for most people in college who aren't in trade school, at least.
Yeah.
Like, you know, my biggest satisfaction is like turning in a paper.
Yep.
Or like getting through a really challenging book. It's satisfying, but it's a different thing than if you're like, I'm lugging like 50 pounds of zucchinis that I picked and that like I kind of like hurt my back for a little bit and that people are going to eat. And then we go to the farmers markets and we would see people, you know, someone would bring a whole bucket of cucumbers up and we'd weigh it and they'd be like, yeah, I'm going to make pickles with this.
Yeah.
And it's so satisfying to be like, okay, my labor has an immediate effect of going into feeding people. Not just feeding people, but feeding people delicious organic veggies that they can buy with food stamps, which a lot of people did, or that they can make their favorite recipes with. It's a different type of... It definitely made me think about... in my life, I don't want to be just at a computer. Like, I really want to be getting my hands dirty. I want to be talking to people. I want to be in the field. Whatever that looks like.
Yeah. And that's, I guess, like, a similar satisfaction maybe to what we were talking about with the thesis, where you get to point and you go, I did that.
Yeah.
That's...
It's printed.
I did it.
Yeah.
Yep.
It, in a different way, because I think with vegetables there's an immediate satisfaction.
True.
But the same concept applies of like, it's so awesome to be like, that was me.
Yep.
Like, I did that. That was my body. That was my mind. Like, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Super fun. Also, food is awesome. I love food. I love eating. I love cooking. It brings people together.
Yeah, absolutely.
It connects us to the earth, it connects us to each other, it is a source of joy. So being able to like be in that space where we're just like constantly appreciating food is so fun. It's just
totally
fun.
it's just fun. It's just a good time.
Just a good time.
Awesome. Speaking of good times, would you want to go to a song?
Let's do it.
Awesome.
Okay, the song is a super fun song. It's called That Don't Impress Me Much by Haim.
Here we go.
I've known a few guys who thought they were pretty smart, but you've got being read down to an utter. Think you're a genius, you drive me up the wall. You're a regular original, know it all. Oh, you think you're special. Oh, you think you're something else.
Okay, so you're a rocket scientist. That don't impress me much.
So you got the brains, but have you got the touch? Now don't get me wrong, yeah, I think you're all right. But that won't keep me warm in the middle of the night.
pocket and a comb up a sleeve, just in case. And all that extra old gel in your hair out of locket, 'cause heaven forbid it should fall out of place. Oh, you think you're special. Oh, you think it's something else. Okay, so you're Brad Pitt. That don't impress me much. Don't impress me much. Your car goodnight. Now come on, baby, tell me. You must be joking, right? Oh, you think you're special. Oh, you think it's something else. Okay, so you've got a car. That don't impress me much.
And we're back. Do we want to start with our little announcement, or do
Let's
we
do
want
it.
To work into it? Okay. So I have something to tell you. Are you looking for some sweet, great tasting snacks that are also healthy for you? Try eating dried fruits. Dried figs, apples, cherries, bananas, apricots, peaches, pears, pineapples, raisins, cranberries, prunes, blueberries, mangoes, and oh so many other fruits are both tasty and good for you. Many dried fruits are an excellent natural source of cancer-fighting dietary fiber. Read the labels to understand which brands have added sugars, preservatives, and other ingredients, but no matter what, eating pretty much any kind of dried fruit is going to be better for you than a candy or processed snack. This has been a public service message from all the fruits and nuts here at WMFO, sorry about that, in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Luke. What's your favorite dried fruit?
Ooh, let's see. That's a big question. Over the break, we were talking about dried mangoes, and they are very good, especially when coated in sugar. I think every now and then I hurt for banana chips.
I love banana chips.
Really?
And then I get
need...
sick of them.
Yep. it comes over me like a wave.
Oh, yeah.
If I can call out one of my roommates right now, I woke up one day. This is in my top 10 moments of this semester, was waking up one day, walking over to our cabinet that we have all our snacks in, and seeing not a post-it note, but a piece of paper that's been taped there. And in the frantic writing that you might expect from someone who was writing at 3 a.m., it just says, "Hi, Luke. I woke up at 3 a.m. and ate all your banana chips like a heathen. I am sorry. Sincerely, my roommate."
He was being honest.
He was being honest, and I would be lying if I said that I haven't had the urge to do that before, honestly.
It also means that, like, you can get back at him if you ever wake up at 3 a.m. and want to eat all of his snacks.
True.
You can kind of have a balance there.
Yes, absolutely. He's given me the card that I can play at another point in time. I think it's going to be banana chips for me overall.
Right.
How about you? Craisins. Craisins are also good.
Oh, I love craisins.
Just had to sneak that in there.
Dried mango is a classic. I love a dried fig.
Mm.
Although, really don't eat them enough. There were these little, I think, from Fairway, which I actually don't know if that supermarket exists out of New York, but great supermarket. They had these little, like, dried fig studs that were coated in, I think, flour.
Whoa.
Or, like, maybe powdered sugar. But I honestly think it wasn't that sweet.
Yeah.
And they were, that sounds just incredibly weird, I realize.
Starchy figs.
They were so good, and they were really small, like little pellets. And I used to inhale those when I was little, and I haven't had them in a while.
Well, I mean, we need to get you to a Fairway, it sounds like.
Clearly. I have my number one winter break plan.
I don't think they're in New Mexico. I don't know if I've ever heard of a Fairway, but...
Well,
yeah.
You're missing out.
I need to get to the NYC area, yeah, I guess. Clearly. Yep. All right. Thoughts on jumping into another question?
Yeah.
Let's see. Ooh, speaking... Before the break, we were talking about hobbies and things to do. What's a casual hobby that you have?
Well...
Or more than
one?
Yeah,
more than one. I feel like we've talked about cooking a little bit.
A little bit,
that
yeah.
really is... I absolutely Good. Love to cook. I cook all the time. I always need a creative outlet.
Yeah.
In the past, it's been like I've gotten really hyper fixated on watercoloring, or there's one period of a few months where I'd be sculpting every night or doing like linoleum carving. Lately, it's been cooking, and I love the process of cooking. Another hobby that I've really been getting into is reading. For pleasure, which I like think. As is the case with a lot of Gen Zers, like everyone was a big reader when they were in like middle school.
Yep.
And then
it fell off in a huge way.
Where it's like, I think probably in all of high school, I probably read like 4 books for fun, and all of them were like a political memoir that frankly was not that like creative or interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 summers ago or something, I picked it back up and I read so much this summer.
Yeah.
And it's so fun.
It's
and I realized
a really good
that
time.
School totally ruined reading for me. And I always every semester I'm like, I'm gonna read for pleasure before bed, and then I don't.
Yeah.
But I really savor the time over like extended breaks where I can just curl up on the couch with a book or go to the park or something.
Totally.
Yeah.
Recently, I've been reading like right after waking up in the morning, and it's a beautiful way to start your day.
That's a great way to start the day. How long do you read for?
Not more than 30 minutes, generally.
That's great.
Yeah.
I always try to set habits for myself like that. Like, I think I realized this semester, I was like, reading a novel is too challenging to do if I'm only going to do a few pages every day or just a little while every day. So I was like, I'll keep a poetry book by my bed and do like a poem every day. And then I very quickly stopped doing that.
Because
I'll like watch a stupid YouTube video or like, and every time
something else fills
that
time.
Every time I open my computer, I'm like, no, I should be reading, and I don't. How do you motivate to do it?
Oh, I am starting to feel like I've told this story too many times, but this year I have tried to do a new habit, either making one or breaking one every month. And
That's
for
awesome.
November, I sat down and I was like, I'm going to read.
And it's working?
For the most part.
That's awesome.
They haven't been sticking as well month to month,
right.
like afterward, as much as I maybe have liked, but for the most part.
Have any of them stuck around?
I definitely, the first one that I did, the impetus for the project, was not being on my phone right after I woke up, and that was, that has stuck for the most part. I've got a much tighter morning and evening routine than I had previously. That was another month. Those are the main ones that have stuck around in a big way. I'm right now working on kind of trying to keep my exercise routine going, which is not something that I had before.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think the phone, I used to sleep with my phone out of my room, so it was really easy to do. And now at school, I don't have an alarm clock, so I use my phone. And so I have to be on my phone the second I wake up. There's a very easy fix to this, which is getting an alarm clock.
Mm-hmm.
I think I need to just get on that.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, you know, for me, I noticed it as a problem, but if it's not a problem...
Then... Oh, no, it's a problem.
Oh. Very calmly.
I, like, have very intentionally not ever downloaded TikTok because I know I'd get addicted to it. And then Instagram decided to basically become TikTok.
Yep. That's actually the reason why I don't often have Instagram on my phone right now.
Delete it.
Yeah.
And then, like, I have it on my computer, but I can't, like, it's just...
It's a whole thing.
I give up.
Yeah. They make them too entertaining.
Yeah. Seriously.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Ooh, what's a song that reminds you of someone? And why?
I definitely have a very sensory memory, so I think almost every song reminds me of someone. But, a song that I've been listening to recently because it reminds me of someone is Our Love Is Here to Stay, which was my parents' first dance at their wedding and also my grandparents' first dance.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think my parents knew that it was my grandparents' first dance when they picked it, I'm remembering the story correctly. My grandparents were like, "That's so sweet that you did that as a tribute to us." My parents were like, "Oh,
what are you talking about?"
Yeah, I think maybe I'm totally wrong and made that up, but I think that's the case. It's nice to have a song that, like, feels like a safety blanket, and I think becoming, I don't listen to it a ton, but I think when I'm feeling, like, a little bit homesick or a little bit sad or anxious or whatever it is, it's so soothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a few other songs like that. My grandparents are big jazz people and, like, would pick me up from school quite a few nights every week, and when they would tuck me in, they would sing me, a few different classic, like, Frank Sinatra or Ella Fitzgerald jazz songs, and, like, I'm always gonna have that.
Yeah,
they bring back such really warm, happy memories.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Do you have any like that?
Oh, I mean, a lot of 70s, 80s rock reminds me of my dad driving me to soccer practice when I was younger. In college, I think I've grown... like a really special fondness for a couple songs from high school that were recommended by high school friends. And it's just like, you know, even if I haven't talked with whoever it is that the song reminds me of in a while, it's nice to hear the song, think of them, and just think of time together.
It's really awesome that our brains work in a way where something can exist at any moment of time, and regardless, it will, like, throw us back to a place. That, like, there are some songs that, like, are always existing, and you can listen to them
whenever
or wherever, but no matter what, it's a person or it's a place. And also is how I feel with smells.
Oh, absolutely. Like, absolutely.
There's a very... I'm Jewish and grew up in a lot of different... I mean, I spent a ton of time at synagogue growing up, and I spend a lot of time on Jewish spaces and campus. There's this very distinct smell of a Jewish kitchen, which I think smells like challah. But I don't know exactly what it is. It's like this very, like, yeasty, honey smell.
Yeah, it sounds lovely.
It's a wonderful, comforting smell. And whenever I smell that, I'm like, smells like home. And it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to have that as well.
That's awesome. Because I think for me, like every now and then a smell will remind me of something, and I don't really know why, because it happens so infrequently, you know?
There's a bank in my neighborhood that, like, connects one block to another, so on super cold days, you'd walk through. And for some reason, it smells like this one beach that I was on in ninth grade. I cannot tell you why.
Yeah.
But... whenever it was a trip that I, like, really felt very fondly about, and whenever I would cut through the bank, I'd be like, "Ah, I'm back." Yeah. And it's very fun.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Heck yeah. Well, we're almost, but not quite out of time. I wanted to ask, I seem to remember, you've got synesthesia, right?
Yeah, I do.
Do full songs have colors, or is that not how... I know it can work, like, a ton of different ways, yeah, depending on who you are. I know you've got it with words, for sure.
Words. So, for those who don't know, synesthesia is technically defined as the mingling of the senses.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a sixth sense where you associate colors or tastes or sounds with different senses. So I have it where all letters and numbers have color. So for instance, Luke is kind of like a brownish eggplant color with, sure, some green in there.
Some I'll take it.
Violet, my own name, is the exact color of a violet flower, which is kind of fun, including the green stem. Some people have it with sound. I have, yeah, it not as strongly with sound,
gotcha,
but it definitely exists. And I definitely gravitate. My favorite genres of music are kind of like the acoustic guitar, like indie folk to indie rock,
yeah,
spectrum.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's because they're my favorite colors, which are like,
nice,
browns and greens and earth tones. So, and it's also one of the reasons why I'm coming around to this now, but when I was little, I really didn't like noise. Like, I'd, mm-hmm, freak out. I used to cry when people sang me happy birthday.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Like, I would freak out in, like, loud party spaces or anything like that, and it was because there were way too many colors. It's just, like, bombarding. It definitely enhances the music experience, though.
Which, nice,
is a very fun thing that I think I have just with myself. It's, like, a little... I mean, no one... Synesthesia is different for every person. Different colors, yeah, different symptoms. And so, it's nice that I have something that is mine and that can be a little thing that I share with myself.
Yeah. That's awesome to have stuff like that, yeah, for sure. As we wrap up, do you have any final things that you want to leave the show on?
This has been so fun.
Oh, thanks.
I think I want to do this more. I feel like I want to, like, have these conversations with these questions with so many of my friends, because I realize, like, I don't know some of these things about them.
You've got access to the full list.
Oh, yeah.
I'd welcome you to steal it.
I would love that. Yeah. But thank you for having me on. And my housemate is going to be on next week, and I'm very excited to listen.
Awesome. Well, I mean, thank you so much for coming, and I had a great time. For listeners, just doing some housekeeping, you are listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. This has been another episode of Elephant Loaf. Do you have a song, Violet, that you would like to end on?
Yeah. Why don't we end on Lilacs by Wakahachi?
Excellent. We will catch you next week.
I need your love too. happy kismet. I run it like a dilettante. I run it like I'm happy, baby. Like I got everything I want.